have a question for you, and I'd appreciate it if you just think about it and don't answer out loud. But I have a question for you. What is the highest calling of a man? Again, don't answer out loud. Just think about that for a moment. What is the highest calling of a man or a woman in that case? What is the highest calling? Now, some, obviously, in this world think the highest calling is to be wealthy. Wrong answer. Some would say the highest calling of man could be something like to find the cure for cancer. And that would be great, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be wonderful. I probably need to pray for that more, that God would give wisdom to men to find the cure for cancer. But you know, one thing about physical healing, even if we found the cure for cancer, something else would kill us because we're going to die, right? So I really don't think that's the highest calling of a man or a woman, although a good one. What about to be the head of his or her company? Is that the highest calling of a man or woman? No. How about to make the highest grades in school? No, that's not the highest calling. How about to score the most touchdowns or points or runs in some game? No, that's not the highest calling either. How about to be famous so that wherever you go, people recognize you and they know you and they show you special treatment. They may ask for your autograph or your picture or all that. Still not the highest calling of a man or a woman. How about to be president of these United States of America? Is that the highest calling of a man or a woman? No, it's not. No, the answer is no to all the above. I want you to listen very carefully today, all right? You say, what is the highest calling of a man or a woman? I believe it's found in this passage of Scripture in Matthew. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 24 today. Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 24. And we're looking at the highest calling, to follow Jesus and fish for men. To follow Jesus and fish for men. If you turn there in your Bibles, I'd encourage you to bring your hard copy Bibles if possible. If not, you can use your cell phone. The only thing I don't like about cell phone Bibles is there's a lot of distractions on there. Like I look at my phone right now, there's a text to me, and I really don't want to think about that right now. I want to think about God. But I'd encourage you to bring your hard copy Bible with you to let everybody know whose team you're on, okay? But if you don't have your hard copy and you don't have your phone, we got the monitor. So watch on as we look at chapter 4 of Matthew, beginning at verse 12. The highest calling is the title of the message. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Now that would be John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. Verse 13, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zabulon and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zabulon and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. I'm thankful that Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies concerning himself. Y'all agree with that? Verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Aren't you thankful that if you know Jesus, you have the light of the world? Amen. Verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. That means change direction, change your mind. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. But the part we're going to preach on in particular is verses 18 through the end of the chapter. So listen closely. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And notice this, and he healed them. Well, what a powerful Savior we have. Y'all agree with that? Today, as I look at this story and look under the topic of the highest calling, point number one, Jesus called these apostles to follow him. Jesus called these apostles to follow him, and guess what? He calls you. Notice what it says in verse 19. Y'all are awful quiet. Y'all looking at me kind of crazy. I know, I realize that it may not be the prettiest sight you're seeing right now, but just try to make it as pleasant as you can. Put a little half smile something on your face. But notice, Jesus called these apostles to follow him. It says in verse 19, he saith unto them, this would be Peter and Andrew, follow me. Follow me. Now those are two powerful, important words, don't you think? Even down in verse 22, verse 21 at the end of it, he's talking to James and John, and it says, and he called them. So I imagine the call was very similar, although it's not recorded in this gospel, that he said the words, follow me. But Jesus called these apostles to follow him. He calls us today. You know, you may be here today, and you're as lost as that seat right there next to you. You could be here today and you've never, ever trusted Jesus as your Savior. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is calling you today to salvation? To follow him. You know, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, the call to anyone here today who may be lost, never trusted Jesus, even if there's a question mark in your mind, and I really think that in a lot of people's hearts and minds, they don't want to admit it, but there's a big question mark in their heart and mind, whether they were truly saved, whether they'd go to heaven if they died in the next 5 minutes or so. But you know what? Just like Jesus called these apostles to follow him, he's calling out to you. He's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You know, you've tried the other things in life. You've tried to find happiness in this and this and this and this, but you keep finding yourself back at the same spot. It's like, I'm still not fulfilled. I'm still not where I want to be. I still feel like there's an emptiness. Can I tell you what it is? You need to follow Jesus in salvation. You need to be truly born again. And according to the Bible, true salvation is a radical salvation. It's a change. It's a change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And if you're looking in the mirror and saying, nothing's different, nothing's new, the desires aren't different. I have no desire to go to church. I have no desire to serve God. I have no desire to read the Bible. I have no desire to pray. I have no except when I'm in trouble. I have no desire to tell my neighbor about Jesus. I have no desire to tell my neighbor about Jesus or my family about Jesus. I have no desire at all. Good chance you're lost and you need Jesus. The Bible says quite clearly in Scripture, guess what? We're going to bear fruit if we're children of God. There's going to be some evidence that we're a true Christian. I'm thankful that just like Jesus called the apostles to follow him, he says today, lost person, follow me. Follow me. He wants you to snuggle up close, to trust Jesus as your Savior, to call out in humility to him, in sincerity from the heart, and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Remember that idea of repent? I'm a sinner. I repent of those sins. Forgive me of those sins. I believe Jesus. I believe he's exactly who the Bible says he was. He died on the cross for me. And I confess Jesus as my Savior. Let me guarantee you, if you get the real dose of the real stuff called salvation by following Jesus, you'll know it. And the people around you ought to know it. And if they don't know it, there's a good chance it's not there. Man, I wouldn't want to base my future and my eternity on something that shaky that you're not sure you're saved or not. You know, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus called these apostles to follow him. He calls us today. He calls the lost to come to him in salvation. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, that's God the Father, so loved the world, that's us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus, that whosoever, that's us, believeth in him, should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life in heaven. Wow. Jesus is calling the lost to salvation. He's saying, follow me, be saved today. You know, I love the verse, I believe it's in Luke's gospel, that says that basically the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. The reason he came was so that you that are lost could follow Jesus and have peace and purpose and joy and security in life. Jesus called these apostles to follow him. He calls you. But what about to the saved today? What about to the saved? Does he call to the saved to follow him? Absolutely. Listen to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. This is Jesus. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. How often? Daily. And follow me. So Christian, you're not off the hook today either. Guess what? The Lord calls us to follow him on a daily basis. And taking up that cross, identifying with Jesus. For some Christians, the last thing on your brain is the cross of Jesus. The last thing in your world is the cross of Jesus. The last thing you ever think about is the cross of Jesus. You just go about your day. Christian, it tells us to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus and do what he tells us and calls us to do. I'm sure that if you and I got a hold of this idea of following Jesus the way we should, we would be a whole lot better picture of Jesus to the lost and dying world. Don't you think? You see, Jesus called the apostles. He calls us today. He calls the lost to salvation. He says, follow me in salvation. He says to the Christian, guess what? Follow me. You see, the problem we Christians have with following Jesus is our old pride. Seriously. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about pride. You know, we think, now this is almost crazy if you think about this long enough. Whenever we decide not to follow Jesus, but to follow what we want, we are saying that this little tiny pea brain in here knows better than the God of the universe. The best place for you to be if you're lost, follow Jesus today in salvation. Leave this place and say, I know I'm going to heaven. Christian, the best place for you to be is following right behind Jesus. I mean, following as close as you can get. Say, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. And if the Bible says it's right, guess what? I'm going to stand on it as being right. And I'm going to do it. The Bible says it's wrong. I'm going to stand that it's wrong. And I'm not going to do it because I'm following Jesus. You see, just like calling the apostles to follow me, he calls us today. He calls us today. Have you ever been in a new place, and you have no clue about where you're going? I mean, no clue. I heard you chuckle over there, Amy, and I imagine you're going to chuckle because of my great sense of direction. I freely admit, you can take me in a large Walmart, turn me around three times, and I'm not quite sure where the front of that store is anymore. My sense of direction. Now, reading a map, an old-time map, more so than anything else, but an old-time, I can get you there as well as anybody. I can make the right turn, I can get on the right interstate, and I can do all that. But just my natural sense of direction, 9 times out of 10, when I come to a stop sign in a place I'm not sure where I'm going, if I need to go left, my sense says, go right. And I very seldom by myself, and without Siri or without Amy, take the most direct route. But you know, have you ever been in a place that you're a little bit less than comfortable? You're kind of like, I'm not familiar with this area. I'm not familiar. Maybe it's a bunch of people around and you're not too familiar with what exactly the protocol is or where you're supposed to go. But then someone steps up sometimes, bless their heart, and they say, I've been here before. I know where to go. I know what to do. Follow me. Doesn't that give you kind of a little piece about it? Like, oh, well, they've been here before. They know where they're going. Can I tell you that we're in this world, and a lot of times we don't know which way to go, but we got a Savior that says, follow me. I got this. Why don't we follow him? Jesus called these apostles to follow him. He calls the lost to follow him in salvation. He calls the saved to follow Jesus every day of their life. Point number one was Jesus called these apostles to follow him. He calls you. Point number two, Jesus called these apostles to fish for men. He calls you to fish for men. He didn't say, just follow me for the sake of following me. Verse 19, he said unto them, this is Peter and Andrew in particular, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. You see, Jesus called these apostles to fish for men. He calls you. He said, what in the world is he talking about, fishing for men? You know what he's talking about? He's talking about sharing the gospel with the people around us. Just sharing the good news. He's talking about sharing the good news with Jesus. We call it witnessing. We call it evangelism. We call it leading somebody to Jesus. He says, guess what? I'm calling you to fish for men. You'd say, well, that's them. That's not me. Can I tell you that that's exactly you? If you know Jesus as your Savior, you have the responsibility. It amazes me sometimes how responsible Christians are at work. And that's great. You're supposed to be responsible at work. But how, maybe I could use the word, irresponsible it seems that some Christians are when it comes to the God of the universe. He says, follow me. Then he says, guess what? Fish for men. Fish for men. I mean, I was a little bit underwhelmed on a Wednesday night. We had a big long series on how to lead someone to Jesus, how to tell them about Jesus effectively. Now, it's not a secret. It's not supposed to be complicated, but just to kind of give some people some ideas and some verses to use. If you know the verse I quoted a minute ago, John 3:16, even if you don't know it, if you know where to find it in your Bible, you can share it and explain it and lead someone to Jesus and be a fisher of men. But I was a little bit, I thought, well, I'll have this. And some people will show up because they'll want to know how to lead their friends and family to Jesus because they're going to hell without Jesus. And we're the hope that they have, and we're called to tell people about it. So there'll be all, well, I wouldn't really didn't think there'd be a whole lot, but I figured we'd have a few more. I think, if anything, our numbers went down on Wednesday night talking about how to lead someone to Jesus. Let me tell you, we got a problem if we don't recognize that our responsibility is to tell other people about Jesus once we know Jesus as our Savior. You know, we sit around and say, oh my goodness. Oh. I mean, some people fret. It seems like age makes us fret. Sometimes the older that you get, sometimes the more you fret. Got awful quiet. I mean, really quiet in here. Not always, but a lot of times age seems to make us fret more. And we sit around and say, oh, this old world, I tell you, our country is terrible. Everything's bad. And you know how we change this country? One soul at a time. Fishing for the souls of men. Fishing for the souls of men. You see, Jesus told the apostles, follow me. And then he said, what I'm going to make you is fishers of men. Fishers of men. You know, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. I like this verse. He said unto them, that's Jesus, go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel. It doesn't say go into all the world and follow all the world's sports events. It says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28, verse 19. We call it the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And if you're sitting there thinking other people will do that, that's totally the wrong idea. This commission is for every Christian. You see, he not only called the apostles to go out and to fish for men, he calls you to go out and fish for men. And honestly, honestly, if we don't get a hold of this, there's going to be people. I'm not a drama king. You know I'm not a drama king. I just don't say things to get your emotions all riled up so you'll make a decision. I think a lot of times those are just emotional decisions. But I want to tell you something that might be a little bit emotional. If you don't tell your family about Jesus and fish for men, who's going to? Oh, it's kind of uncomfortable around family. I don't know if I can do that. And I 100% agree with you. It's uncomfortable. But if you don't fish for that soul, fish for that man or woman or teenager or child, who's going to fish for them? And the neighbors you have. God's really been after my hide that I need to be a better witness to my neighbors down in Williamstown. And I'm trying. I'm praying, Lord, give me opportunities and help me. I mean, it's not that I've been a poor witness, but I could be more vocal and ask that $64,000 question. Have you ever trusted? Now, some I've asked, but some I haven't. Now, I could do better. But if you don't fish for men, who's going to? If you don't fish for the soul of your neighbor, who's going to? If you don't tell them about Jesus, who's going to? So you got family, you got neighbors, you got, how many of you have any friends? Anybody here got any friends? Where's Tim? Is he in the back? He disappeared. Doesn't surprise me. I was going to see if his hand went up. You have friends. And if you don't fish for the soul of your friends, who's going to? I mean, really, I think there's going to be a lot of regrets. A lot of regrets. I've seen these little skits and these little, like, little dramas where someone is killed and it's a friend of the person in the drama, and the demons come and take that soul to hell, and you're like, oh, I should have told them about Jesus. I really think that if God allows us at some point in there, you know those tears that he dries? It says every tear, he'll dry up our tears in heaven when it talks about heaven. I wonder if those tears aren't tears of regret that we didn't fish for men more. Now, you'll not be a perfect fisherman. I don't know of a perfect fisherman. And not everybody will say, well, thank you for sharing that with me. I am so glad. Because some of them will be negative and some of them won't. But guess what? At least you've told them and fished for their soul and told them about Jesus. Man, we got to get a hold of that. We got to get a hold of that. Jesus called these apostles to follow him. If you're lost, you need to follow him in salvation today. If you're saved, you need to follow him ever so close and do whatever he tells you to do and follow his plan for your life perfectly. But secondly, he said, guess what? I have a specific calling for you. I want you to fish for men. And anybody who believes that that's the sole responsibility of the preacher, you're wrong. I'm telling you, you are wrong. It's every Christian's responsibility to fish for men. I want to ask you a very profound question. You ready for this? I sometimes ask these really profound questions. How many real fishermen do we have in our midst? I mean, you say, I'm a fisher of fish. How many of you say, I'm a really good fisherman of fish? Okay, Roger, I know he's not raising his hand, but Roger, who else fishes for fish? Now, come on. Somebody here likes fish. John? Okay, who else? Okay, all right, Chris. All right. Let me ask you a question. Now, they use nets at this point, you know, in the Sea of Galilee, using nets to catch, now we use rod and reel. But how many of you would venture to say, we're more likely to catch more fish the more rods we have in the water? How many would agree? Or if we're going and we're doing a church-wide fishing trip, you know, we say, we're going to live by faith here. We're going to eat what we catch. So we want a lot of fish, but we're only going to bring one rod. You say, well, that's kind of weird. Only one fish at a time, one rod? So would everyone agree with me that the more rods you got in the water, the more likely you are to catch fish? And more fish. Do you know why so many of our churches are lagging behind? Do you know why some of our churches are closing their doors? Do you know why people are not concerned about church anymore? It's because there's one or two or three or just a handful of people getting out there fishing, and everybody else is saying, well, it's their job. They can do it. They can do it. They can do it. If you're waiting on someone else to catch your fish, it may never happen. Today, this morning in particular. Remember I asked what the highest calling of man is? The highest calling of a man, I believe, is found right in this scripture. The highest calling, not to be president of these United States of America, not to be some wealthy, powerful gentleman or lady in society that everybody recognizes, not to even amass the most wealth in your bank account. The highest calling of any man or woman is to follow Jesus and to fish for men. No higher calling. The question I have, and I'm done almost. The question I have you followed Jesus in salvation? Have you followed Jesus in salvation? I really believe that we got a lot of people that are pretending they're playing a part. I really believe this. And you talk to any preacher, you can ask any Bible-believing, preaching, conservative pastor, such as myself, and they'll tell you the same thing. I think there's a lot of people that's playing the part. Playing the part. I want to look like a Christian. I'm around Christians. I'm even going to talk like a Christian. And at least every once in a while, I'm going to show up to church, and I'm going to. But that the point is, have you followed Jesus in salvation? I don't really know how much clearer to make it. If not, you're lost. If you've never called upon the Lord in salvation and say, Lord, save me, forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner. Wipe that slate clean. I believe Jesus, and meant it from your heart, Jesus died on the cross for me. And I need it because I'm a sinner. Forgive me. confess Jesus as your Savior. Say, Jesus, you're my Savior. You're the one I'm going to follow. You're the leader. You're sitting there lost, and you're on your way to hell. That's terrible news. Terrible news. The good news is there's a solution to that. So in a moment, we're going to sing a song or have a song played. I'm not sure which yet. And I'm going to be standing somewhere down around front here. I would get up out of that seat. I don't care how long it takes you. I don't care how many people you got to say excuse me to. Your soul is more important than time. Your soul is more important than an inconvenience. Your soul is precious, and you better trust Jesus today. Follow Him in salvation. But you know what? There's people here today that say, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Are you following Jesus? You know, really, following Jesus isn't like a one day on, one day off, or one day on, 6 days off. It means following Him close. Maybe God is speaking to your heart. You don't see this anymore in churches. I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw a Christian get under such chastening of the Lord that there were tears. And say, Lord, I've been doing my own thing. Forgive me. I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved, but I've been doing my own thing. I rededicate my heart and life to you. You didn't lose your salvation, but you probably lost the joy of your salvation. I'd encourage you today, whether we sing or whether music is played, to come here to the altar. You don't have to talk to me unless you want to. I'll be glad to if you want me to. But you can go straight to God and say, God, I'm not following you. Somewhere along the line, I started doing my own thing. If God is speaking to your heart as a Christian, today's the day. You don't want to leave this world separated from the Lord with your sins. I mean, again, you're saved. You'll go to heaven. But you don't want to leave here doing your own thing and not God's thing. Because we are going to give an account. Another question that is for Christians today. If the highest calling of man is to follow the Lord and to fish for men, let me ask you as a Christian, are you serious about fishing for men? Are you serious about telling other people about Jesus? I mean, again, we look around and say, oh man, this country's going to hell in a handbasket. Yeah. But what you going to do about it? Are you going to fish for men? Highest calling of a man or woman, to follow Jesus and to fish for men. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I don't fish for men the way I should. I can't even remember, maybe you might say. I can't even remember the last time I shared Jesus with somebody and told them how to be saved. Or you might say, I don't even know how to do that, but I think God's speaking to my heart. We'll take care of that part. If there's a willingness, God will teach you how to do that and show you how to do that, to fish for men. If God's speaking to your heart in that area, the altar is open. Is God speaking to your heart today? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture where you told Peter and Andrew specifically, and it looks like James and John as well, probably the same words, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Lord, I pray that you'll just speak to hearts today. Lord, I sense your presence here today. I sense that you're working in hearts and lives. And Lord, I pray, whatever the need might be, and whatever you're telling the hearts of the people that are here today, Lord, whether they're lost, they need to be saved, I pray that they'll come forward and say, preacher, I need to be saved. Or whether it's a Christian here today and say, you know what, I'm really not been following Jesus very close, but I want to. I pray, Lord, that you would let them know that the altar is open, and they'll come down this aisle and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to do it your way. I've been on my own for a while, but I want to do it your way. I'm saved, but I want to do it your way, even closer. Or maybe, Lord, Christians that are here today says, you know what, I'm really That's the highest calling of man. I'm not fishing for men. I'm not sharing the gospel. But, Lord, you're telling me I need to. I pray, Lord, that you'll give them the boldness to come and come to the altar and say, Lord, help me to be a better fisher of men. Help me, Lord, to share the gospel. Lord, it's your invitation. Lord, all I ask is that we listen and obey. If you wouldn't mind standing to your feet, please. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. If you wouldn't mind standing to your feet and keeping your head bowed and your eyes closed. Amy's going to play through this song. If God is speaking to your heart, would you respond today?